Well, the letter to the Ephesians today describes something of our status. It says that we're no longer strangers, we're no longer sojourners, but we're fellow citizens with all the holy ones. Now, the first description, therefore, is that we're members of the household. You know, when you live in the household, you don't knock on the door, you just walk through the door, right? You don't have to seek permission to enter the house, you just come in. And the idea that we're not strangers, that we're members of the household of God, indicates a kind of a family understanding. Now, it also says that we're not sojourners. Of course, we are sojourners in this world, but not in the household of God. This is home for us. Now, most Christians and Catholics have it exactly backwards. They're very much at home in the world, and very much kind of sojourners if they get into church at all, or they're a little bit lost and confused. The idea is to be familiar with God and the things of God. And strange, and the world speaks a language that we don't understand. It doesn't make sense to us. We're trying to speak, well, let's just say English, and they're trying to speak, I don't know, some foreign dialect that none of us know. The world should seem confusing to us. The world should seem, in a certain sense, hostile. The world should seem confusing. What it says is babble. It makes no sense. That's the way it's supposed to be. But it's just the opposite, isn't it? For many believers, what the church is saying makes no sense. What's in the scripture, I can't understand this, Father. And yet, the world, well, let's all get excited about football. Oh, okay, let's get excited about football. And we all get excited about football. And so on. We're very familiar with the world, and its language makes absolute sense to us, and yet the things of God are confusing, difficult to understand, foreign, and even hostile. Oh, the church is so mean. Oh, God is strict, and so on. So, you see, what Paul is inviting us, though, to is to get this thing right. To be so rooted in God and the things of God that it makes all the sense to us. And increasingly, what the world says makes no sense. It's absurd or confusing, difficult to follow and understand. So you see the invitation to be strangers to the world, but familiar to God. Sojourners in the world, just passing through. No need to learn the language. No need to adapt to the culture. Just passing through. And yet very familiar and deeply rooted in the things of God. Now, it goes on to say that we're members of the household of God. And then here comes an important thing. It is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the capstone. Now, therefore, this holy fellowship, or this family that we have, is rooted, or shall we say, is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That is to say, maybe to put it in somewhat more theological terms that we use today, we have the scripture and we have the tradition. Every now and then, when I hear some Catholics talk about fellowship or community, it's sort of a vague abstraction. Come to our warm Catholic community where people love each other. And it's all sort of vague, and it's sort of, how is it distinct, for example, from the fellowship that you might get in the local Moose Lodge or the bowling league? See? And it's that our fellowship, our community is not just some sense of togetherness, brotherhood, warm feelings. I hope it's those things, but it's rooted in the Scripture, truth of the Scripture, and the truth of the apostles, the tradition. That, therefore, our community has some parameters. It has some definable teachings and characteristics that are to unite us. Now, some people who want to just kind of have this vague sense of fellowship get offended. Well, you're being divisive if you insist that we sort of stay within the proper boundaries of Scripture and tradition. Oh, you're mean. You're offending against the fellowship. You're not being nice. And again, our fellowship is not just some vague thing. It is deeply rooted in the Scripture and in the tradition. But we should be able to define what our community is. Maybe to a certain extent, like what kind of music we're going to sing or what have you. But in the end, no. It is the Scripture and the tradition that makes our community. The grace of God works through this thing we call faith, which has defined elements, and it works through the Scriptures and the tradition. It's simply a call to some sense of truth. The community is not just some vague thing, but it is a defined thing for us as Catholics and as Christians. So, again, just some thoughts today on these opening lines, if you will, from the second chapter of the Ephesians. And just to conclude, this where it says that Jesus Christ, it says that the foundation is the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself as the capstone. Think of an arch, and at the top, all those stones leaning into the center towards that arch, the keystone at the top, which holds the whole arch together. And once again, Jesus Christ is the head of the body, of the church. Again, first of all, simply definitional, right? If we're going to really be community, it has to be in Christ. It can't just be this vague thing. But also, if you think of maybe one of these arches, all the stones lean in towards the center, onto that center stone. We're all leaning on Christ. Take out the center stone and the entire arch collapses. So it is that Christ himself is the absolute truth and the foundation of all that we are. Our community is defined for us, and we're invited to it, to be familiar with it, to be deeply rooted in it. The world should seem strange, foreign, and confusing to us. Sadly, for many, it's just the opposite. So again, the invitation and the challenge for us is to be strangers to the world, but members of the household of God. Amen.